Is it too loud? Dying this morning about trying to do an Easter sermons are weird because you want to be different. She said, well, if it's new, it's probably not a good thing, you know. So, but last week, I just want to look, I handed out my little calendar last week of what happened, what the disciples had planned, what they thought would happen the week before the crucifixion, and then the disappointment, obviously, the terror, the heartache of that Friday when he was crucified, and the joy that the Jewish leaders felt. It's kind of interesting, the contrast, that first day of the week on resurrection, the groups kind of switched on who was happy and who wasn't. But what I'd like to look at is when you really examine that first resurrection day, it really was not this great day of celebration. It's kind of interesting when we were just reading that song, singing this song, the wonderful cross. You know, my guess is the Romans didn't think that, you know, the wonderful cross. You know, there'd be like saying the wonderful guillotine, or the wonderful noose, you know, that became to the disciples and to the Christian world what Rome meant for death, the Christian, that God turned into a symbol of life. So anyway, but that when you think back, and I'm going to read, kind of review some of the verses of that first resurrection day. And it was really not this great celebration. I want to look at how his followers were really feeling. We're just going to look at some of the words used about how they felt. The writer, the Gospel writers told it like it was. There was no sugarcoating. There was no, you know, all these great men of faith. Actually, the only great people that had faith were who? Group of women, which is kind of interesting. And then what I want to do is we'll focus kind of the events recorded in Luke 24 about the two guys that they're not sure if it was two men, a man and his wife on the road to Emmaus. And when you look at this, God chose a group of scared, doubting, grieving, troubled, foolish men, just like me. And to take this message to the world, and we're going to look at the very end of his Great Commission. But I was listening to a tape by Bill Hybels. You know, he's like the grandfather of all megachurches. And he talked about developing leaders, and it was at one of his leadership conferences where there's like thousands of leaders. And he said, this is what he looks for in a leader. He wants them to be, he calls it, I forget what the term he used, kind of like the upper crust leadership. These are the guys that he wants gathered around them. And I interviewed there once, and it was like, if you weren't a firstborn, you hardly got a job there, really. I mean, if you weren't really driven, and so I didn't. Anyway, but this is what he looks for. First is intelligence. They got to be really smart. He said, smart people can do really great things. And as I was listening to him, I was like, I didn't really, when I looked at these, I only really was good at one of them. The second one is energetic. Well, at my stage of life, energy is kind of like, it takes on a different perspective. When I see the kids running around, that's energy, you know, when I'm like, when I want to take a nap. So they have to be intelligent, energetic, relational intelligence. They have to be able to relate to people. And I'm thinking, where are the four people that might apply to jobs like this? So you have to be relational. And the last one was they have to have a win or die attitude. And he went to Acts chapter 20 and talked about Paul when they said, Paul, you can't go back to Jerusalem. They're going to kill you. And he says, I got to go. You know, if they kill me, I have to go. And as I listened to that, I thought, he should read 1 Corinthians, where Paul said, I'm here in fear and trembling. When I looked at these things, and then you start reading the events of that resurrection day, and listen to the words the writers used for those men that day. They went from the, you know, that beginning of this what they call Holy Week, they had great expectations. And Friday, it ended in grief and disappointment. Saturday had the Sabbath. That Sabbath had to be the longest day of their life. Confused, broken, disappointed, scared. They killed him. They're coming after us. You know, the reality is these, then Sunday morning, or, which is the first day of the week, Sunday morning, they didn't get up thinking, let's get all dressed up in our Easter garb and go look at the empty tomb. It's not what they were thinking. So let me just read some of the stories. This is the first. It was the Great Commission. This is out of Matthew chapter 28, verse 16. And I'm not going to read all of the stories, but it says, "But the 11 disciples proceeded to Galilee because they told the Marys, tell the disciples to go to Galilee. So the 11 disciples proceeded to Galilee to the mountain which Jesus had designated, and when they saw him, they worshipped him." I mean, there's some good things. They worshipped him, like finally saw him, and they worshipped him. But then the next words are, but some were doubtful. They saw him, but some were doubtful. They, you know, if I was, again, sanctified imagination, if I was writing this, you know, if you're going to write a story about your life, I'm not sure I would include those words. And some of us saw him and thought, I got some doubts. Have you ever, and you don't have to raise your hand, have you ever had any doubts? They did. And I'm not saying, don't build your life on doubts, but they did. They saw him face to face. And some worshiped. And some were doubtful. And Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. He said this to some, looking out at these people thinking, and some, he knew that some of them doubted. And I'm going to use you. You worshipers and doubters, I'm going to use you to spread this story. And then in Mark, it occurs in almost all the Gospels, this whole thing with Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James. It says, when the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Salome, brought spices so that they may come and anoint him. Very early on the first day of the week, they came to the tomb when the sun had risen. And they were saying to one another, who will roll a stone away for us from the entrance of the tomb? And looking up, they saw that the stone was rolled away, although it was extremely large. Entering the tomb, they saw a young man sitting at the right wearing a white robe. And they were amazed. What? No. You know, and we have 2014, well, however many years, looking back, and, you know, but think of those two ladies the first day. They had been told this would happen. They had been told this. He said to them, I think it's in Luke chapter 9, he told them this would happen, but when they got there, they were amazed. You know, if I was writing this about me, I would say, I walked in the tomb and saw the angel and believed and had great faith and went out and told all my neighbors. Nope, they were amazed. And he said to them, well, don't be amazed. You're looking for Jesus, the Nazarene, who has been crucified. He's risen. He's not here. Behold, here's the place where they laid him. And this is amazing. Verse 7. Well, but go tell his disciples. Just get out of here. Go tell them quick. Tell his disciples and Peter. you know, and again, you could, I mean, I kind of like Peter. He's just kind of this, you know, I feel bad for him, and I feel good for him, and I kind of relate to him, you know. Go tell Peter. And he's going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you. And they went out, they fled from the tomb, for trembling and astonishment had gripped them. Have you ever been so scared that you were shaken? I have been. Where your hands are like in a car accident or something, where you're just literally, and that's what, they weren't going, this is wonderful. They were trembling with astonishment, had gripped them. And then this is what it says. And they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. Now, if an angel says to you, go tell his disciples, I'm thinking that's a pretty good, I'm thinking I might do that. It says, and they said nothing to anyone because they were so afraid. Have you ever gotten into a spot? And I'm guessing you have. I'm guessing that as you're at work and somebody mentions something, well, this Easter thing, or an atheist, or so, and you're like, I should say something. I should really say something. And you don't. And you feel bad later. Thinking, as I read these things, I'm thinking, and I'm not encouraging you not to say anything, but when you feel guilty about that, or when you feel like maybe I'm not as outspoken as I ought to be, read these stories. The angel said, "Go tell his disciples," and fear had gripped them, and they said nothing to any of them. Verse 9. Now, after he had risen early on the first day of the week, he first appeared to Mary Magdalene. What do you know about Mary Magdalene? It says, from whom he... Should I do the other one? It says, Mary Magdalene, from whom he cast out 7 demons. So what do you think her reputation was? She was the nut. I mean, I hate to say that. I mean, that's probably not a good philosophical... There we go. Okay, so when you read this, it says after, he first appeared to Mary Magdalene, who had 7 demons. Mary was kind of goofy. Can we really trust Mary? She might have some leftover baggage, Maybe there's a few left. She's still influenced by the little goofy. So she went and reported to those who had been with him while they were mourning and weeping. I mean, this day was not like get up on Easter morning and put on our nice new clothes. I remember when I was a kid, man, this was a big day. You always got dressed up for Easter. And anyway, they were like at home mourning and weeping. So Mary pops in the door. Guess what? If you're in mourning and grief, sometimes happy people are not fun. They're not fun. When you're in the middle of grief, sometimes you just want to say, be quiet. Let me cry. And that's where she pops into the room. And when they heard that he was alive and had been seen by her, they refused to believe it. Not, gee, I wonder, not, maybe Mary is right. No, I refuse to believe you, Mary. You're goofy. It doesn't say that, but this was not some day where they just went, this is wonderful. They weren't thinking the wonderful cross at this point. They weren't getting it. They were disturbed, mourning and weeping. And then it says, and we're going to get to this as Mark just mentions this. After that, he appeared to in a different form to two of them while they were walking along on their way to the country. This is in, we're going to look at this in Luke. And they went away and reported it to others, and they did not believe them either. So now you got the two Marys, all happy. You got Mary Magdalene. I really saw him. They just saw, the first two just saw the angels and said, go tell his disciples he's risen. Then Mary Magdalene actually sees him, and they go, oh, I refuse to believe this. Not just Thomas. This wasn't just Thomas. This was all of them. Picture that in your mind, going up wherever they were hiding. And Mary Magdalene bursting in the door and saying, I saw him. Leave us alone, Mary. Just leave us alone. And then John. This John is the, we just finished it in the men's Bible study, and it's the gospel of belief. John is really, he was probably the warm, fuzzy guy. You know, I mean, he was probably the happy guy. I'm guessing, I don't know if he was the last born or what, but he's probably, he just loved all this. And he never mentioned himself, but the disciple that believed. And this is what it says. So when it was evening on the first day of the week, and when the doors were shut, where all the disciples were, for fear of the Jews, we're locking the door. Lock the door, Peter. Don't let them in. Whoever's knocking, don't let them in. Jesus came and stood in their midst and said to them, peace be with you. And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples then rejoiced when they saw the Lord. And so Jesus said to them again, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I also am sending you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and he said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they have been forgiven them. If you retain, and we don't want to, we'll get into what that means later. But they finally see him. And this is the one place in the book of John where it says, wow, they finally are getting it. And let me just go over these last two guys that were walking on the way to Emmaus. So it's on the first day of the week. This is Sunday, okay? First day of the week is Sunday. At early dawn, they came to the tomb, and bringing spices, they prepared it. And they found the stone rolled away. And this is another one. While they were perplexed about this, behold, two men suddenly stood near them in dazzling clothing. And the women were terrified. So I'm thinking every time you see an angel, I've been studied every time an angel appears, but they always were scary. You know, this isn't like, I'll use the other one. Is this thing on? Oh, this? Okay. Oh, maybe that's it. You don't need the dancing?
No.
No, all right. That was that? Dancing?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was it. No more. And while they were perplexed about this, two men suddenly stood near them in dazzling clothes, and they were terrified and bowed their faces to the ground. And the men said, why do you seek the living among the dead? What are you doing? I mean, this wasn't this great celebration. They were confused in grief and mourning, seeing angels and disappointed. They were not singing, oh, the wonderful cross. He's not here. He's risen. Remember how he spoke to you while he was still in Galilee, saying that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified and the third day rise again? And they remembered his words. And they returned from the tomb and reported all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. Now they were Mary Magdalene, Joanna, and Mary, the mother of James, and also other women with them were telling these things to the apostles. all these women started to, you know, it's like the they might have gone to El Chico and said, look what we found. And ladies, all guys, I mean, I don't know if we're just hard-headed. I have this whole thing about, well, never mind, I better not say that. I think it, well, never mind. Because I get in trouble. I mean, I think, my theory is ladies have an easier time believing, but I don't think that's true. I mean, yes, I do. And I don't know why. I don't know why I think that. I'm not sure. But it seems like they did. At least here they did. And the men were like, no. No, this is the end. And the ladies were like, no, 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 really, really. This is okay. Just trust us. Maybe that's the problem. Maybe they just didn't trust them. I don't know. So anyway, and then it says, and the women were telling these things to the apostles. But these words appeared to them as nonsense. So, and they would not believe them. So the men are sitting there going, this is, get out of here. This is nonsense. People do not raise from the dead. He's gone. Our dreams are canceled. There's no getting around this. We have to start over or run. And then this is verse 12 in Luke chapter 24. But Peter got up. I picture this. He's sitting in the back crying, thinking, I denied him. Bad. This is bad. He will never. I have trouble. I wonder if he's ever really able to forgive himself. Seeing what he did, I'm guessing he did. But this was not an easy path. Forgiving himself was not an easy path. But he's in the back of the room crying on his own. And he's listening to these ladies. And it appeared like nonsense. But Peter got up and ran to the tomb, stooping and looking in. He saw the linen wrappings only. And he went away to his home all by himself. I got to think about this. Marveling at what had happened. I picture this in his mind, and I think of Peter sitting in his home going, I think he said something about this. Didn't he mention this? Maybe it's really true. And then this is the story about the two people walking to Emmaus. And behold, two of them were going that very day to a village named Emmaus, which was about 7 miles from Jerusalem. When you read the commentaries, they don't really know where Emmaus was. They just, from this, they know it's 7 miles away. That's a day's walk, you know, or half a day. I don't know. You can, if you're a fast walker, what can you walk a mile in 15 minutes? So, I don't know. What is it? Do your math. It's not far. I mean, and they were talking with each other about the things that had taken place. These are not happy people. You know, these are sad, grieving. Jesus is dead. Let's leave Jerusalem. The place is packed. We got to get out of here. They're going to kill us too. And they were talking about what had taken place. And while they were talking and discussing, Jesus himself approached and began traveling with them. Now, it doesn't say how that happened, but apparently, you know, I mean, if you're walking down the sidewalk sometimes, and I mean, some people, it doesn't happen. Like in college, people would walk together, you know, if they're going to, where are you going? I'm going to the lab building. You kind of walk together. So it's not, this is kind of like real life. And he said to them, it says, but their eyes were prevented from recognizing him. Now that's kind of odd. I don't know, you know, and if I've seen on the internet, on YouTube, you know, the pictures, what was it? The last really horrific movie about that, where they showed him beating Jesus. What was it called? Yeah, where they, when you see what he looked like, they made him look like, I mean, this was yucky, you know. So maybe that's why they didn't recognize him. They wouldn't expect to see him, this guy walking, you know. But they didn't recognize him. However, and it says their eyes were prevented. So it might have been a God thing. And he said to them, what are these words you are exchanging with one another as you are walking? What are you talking about? Can I get in on the conversation? And they stood still, looking sad. This is, again, they're looking sad. Think, when you see people in the middle of grief, you know, look at the families of this that on TV when you look at the ferry that just tipped over. You know, people in grief, they look, you just know it. This is sad. So Jesus standing there, and they were looking sad. And one of them, named Cleophas, answered and said to him, now, in the middle of grief, sometimes you can get angry too. You know, I mean, I don't know how he said this. Doesn't say how he talked to him. But he says to him, are you the only one visiting Jerusalem and unaware of the things that have happened in these days? Where were you? What are you talking about? We're sad. Our leader has been killed. And that's what he says. And he said, then Jesus said to them, well, what things? You know, what? And it's almost like he's making them think about, I don't want to think about this anymore. I don't want to go over this story again of our expectations and him hanging on that cross. And these weird stories of unreasonable hope that he might be alive. That just does not happen. What things? And they said to him, the things about Jesus, the Nazarene, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and in word and in sight of God and in all people. And how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him up to sentence of the death and crucified him. Verse 21, but we were hoping. This is crushed hope. These are sad, mourning, grieving people walking back home. But we were hoping that it was he who was going to redeem Israel. Indeed, besides all this, it is the third day since all these things have happened. But also, some women among us amazed us when they went to the tomb early in the morning and they didn't find his body and came saying that they had seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. This is, can you see the confusion in their heads? This is not right. I don't need somebody giving me some false hope. And some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it, just as the women had also said. But him they did not see. And Jesus, he said to them, this is like, and when I read these words, I'm thinking, you know, most of us want to hear, well done, good and faithful servant, right? And I think that's why this story is here. Because these people had to record this. These people had to tell Luke this story and tell him it just like it is. Not sugarcoating how we saw Jesus and we just believed. This is what Jesus said to them. Oh, foolish men, slow of heart to believe. If Jesus said that to you, you'd remember. You'd remember. I'll jump to, just to let us up a little bit and let them up a little bit. When you jump to the end and you realize in the end, this group of 11, I don't know how many, the 11 disciples, but there were probably more of them that hung out. These guys changed the world. These guys were transformed from this sad, grieving, troubled, foolish of heart, unbelieving men and women, well, men, to spreading this to where, now China might be the biggest church in the world. But they said, when he says to them, "Oh, foolish men, and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets had spoken, was it not necessary for the Christ to suffer these things and to enter into his glory?" Can you think of the tender heart of Jesus looking at these grieving, sad people? Wasn't this necessary? And then, beginning with Moses and with all the prophets, he explained to them the things concerning himself in all the scriptures. And as they approached the village where they were going, he acted as though he were going to go further. But they urged him, "Well, why don't you stay here? Come and stay with us." For it was getting toward evening, and the day now was nearly over. So he went in to stay with them, and when he had reclined at the table with them, he took bread and blessed it, which is also kind of odd. Usually if you're staying at somebody's house, you know, if we go to Lisa's house, we'd expect them to kind of be in the kitchen serving. I mean, I wouldn't run into her kitchen and say, "Well, let me do this." I mean, I probably should, but I did. But anyway, so Jesus, he's like taking over. He's like becoming the host. And he blessed it, and breaking it, he began giving it to them. Ding. That was the moment. And there was some time in your life, I'm assuming most of us are believers, but there's that ding, that moment where you went, "Oh yeah, I believe it." And that was their moment. And their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. Now, I don't know, you know, it's kind of also an odd thing. You know, gone, he's just gone. Come on, hang around. We had a lot of questions. You know, when I wrote on my calendar Sunday, empty tomb, any questions? Dude, any questions? Stay with us. You know, we need more than... And they said to one another, and their eyes were open, and he vanished from their sight, and they said to one another, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he was speaking to us on the road?" So they think back. Wasn't there a time in your life where you just knew God's telling me something? Something is true about this. You know, and I think I think God's not willing that any should perish. I think God calls all men. And some of us, some men, refuse to believe it. I think God impresses on the hearts of all men, this is true. Trust me. And that's, were not our hearts burning when he was speaking to us on the road, while he was explaining scripture to us? And they got up that very hour and returned to Jerusalem. 7 miles back, 14 miles. They had to be younger than me. I mean, 14 miles, a little longer walk. And they returned to Jerusalem and found gathered together the 11 who were with them, saying, "The Lord has risen and appeared to Simon." And they began to... So now they're saying, "Well, Simon saw him. Simon Peter saw him. You guys have seen him." And it says, and they began to relate their experiences on the road and how he was recognized by them. So now more and more people are believing. And then at the very end, this is verse 36 through the end of Luke. And while they were telling these things, he himself stood in their midst and said to them, "Peace to you." And they were startled and frightened and thought that they were seeing a spirit. And again, think, you know, if you were going to, if the Holy Spirit wasn't leading your recording of this, I would have said, and he came in the room and we hugged him and it was great and I believed immediately and we transformed the world. We ran out and we're going to conquer Jerusalem. Now, they were startled and frightened and thought that they were seeing a spirit. And he said to them, "Why are you troubled? Well, Jesus, come on. Why are you troubled? And he knew their hearts. And why do doubts arise in your hearts? And I've read this book called Between Two Minds by Oz Guinness, and it's all about doubt. And, you know, and most people think faith and doubt are the opposite. You know, you either have faith or you doubt. Well, you know what? People that don't have faith don't have doubts. When he says this, I think God recorded this for us so that we look at these guys, and you don't put all the apostles up on a pedestal and think, oh, they were so holy and they were so good and they believed so easily. No, Jesus looked. Can you imagine, again, can you imagine sitting in a room and looking and Jesus sitting there going, why are you troubled? Why do doubts arise in your heart? Not me. You can't be talking to me. I just picture Jesus looking into your eyes and going, oh, yeah? And he still used them. He didn't say at the end of this sentence, we're going to get another whole group. You guys are done. I'm through with you. I'm going to look for intelligent, energetic, win or die guys. No, he says to them, look at my hands. Look at my feet. That it is I myself. Touch me and see, for the spirit does not have flesh and bones as you see that I have. I'm not a spirit. It's not like they could, you know, like the movie Ghost where, you know, you put your hand through the person. This is a real guy. Touch, feel. And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. And this is an amazing sentence to me. And while, verse 41 in Luke 24, and while they could not believe it because of their joy and amazement. You ever get an ad in a paper like from Townies Ford that says, you have just won an F-150 and a big screen TV and four children. And, you know, I mean, and you go, what is the first thing you say? And they have a key. Sometimes they send you the key. That's too good to be true. That ain't right. You know that's an advertisement. I don't know if that's what they were thinking. Because it says, and they still could not believe because of their joy. This is like really cool. Now we see, maybe it is him. Maybe what he did say was right. Maybe it's our problem. Maybe I ought to believe this. And he said to them, I don't know, you know, I'm not thinking he's mind reading, get too mystical about the whole thing, but right after that, and they're thinking in their heads, they couldn't believe because of their joy. They're like, the room's starting to get like excited, and, you know, Peter, what do you think? And John, Matthew, what do you, you know, you think you're going to have to collect taxes anymore? I mean, this is cool. And then he said to them, you have anything to eat? I mean, this is like down to earth, just like, I don't know if he was changing the subject or if he just wanted to show to them that it's really me. And you wonder what kind of body you're going to have. It's going to be a physical body and you're going to eat. You have anything to eat? And they gave him a piece of boiled fish, and he took it and ate it before them. What? It's kind of interesting. I mean, it's just like the disciples, I would think they're going, okay, let's get over the fish. Let's talk a little bit about this. And then this is when he's, all he could, He knew what was going on. He saw their amazement and their refusal to believe and their sadness and foolishness and foolish hearts. And then he says to them, "These are my words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all the things which were written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms have been fulfilled." I don't know if he said, go, turn to Isaiah 53, just for a minute. Look at Psalm 22. Then he opened their minds to understand the scripture. And I'm guessing, when you came to that point where the light went on and you decided to believe, and the next time you picked up your Bible, I mean, I remember, I used to read my Bible every night. I was unsaved in high school, would read it every night. And then I picked up a Bible and things were flying out of the Bible at me. Things I thought I've read this a bunch of times. And I think that's what happened to them. And and he opened their hearts to understand the scripture, and he said to this group of guys that were refusing to believe, and he said to them, And he said to them, "Thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and rise again from the dead the third day, and that repentance for forgiveness of sins would be proclaimed in his name to all the nations, beginning from Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of these things. And behold, I am sending forth the promise of my Father upon you, that you stay in the city until you are clothed with the power from on high." I'm sticking with you guys. It's almost like you could feel this sigh of like, wow. He's following through with us. With me. This is almost too good to be true, but God is going to take this group of foolish, broken, grieving men and women and transform. That he's using them and us to teach the world this unbelievable message. Let's pray together. Father, we look at the events of that night and that day when death couldn't hold you, when the cross was transformed from an instrument of death to life for the whole world, that your Son took on the penalty of all of the sin of the whole world, and all you ask us to do is believe. And as I look at these men and their struggles and their doubts and their fears, and Father, that you still take the likes of us. You've chosen mankind to spread the good news of what your Son did. Father, as we leave this place and you put us in situations where we honestly might be fearful, be afraid to talk, give us words, give us wisdom, give us the courage and the heart for people around us to share this good news that was written about you and your Son in all of the God, in the prophets and apostles. Thanks for this day. Thanks for our church. Thanks for our friendships here. It's in your Son's name I pray.